The story of Jacob. Jacob, the quiet home lover, had run away into exile through fear of his brother, leaving the camps he had lived in all his life. He set out for the home of his uncle Laban, Rebekah's brother. Alone in the hills, Jacob took a rock for a pillow and lay down to sleep. He was never the outdoors man his brother was, but soon he fell asleep, which is when something strange happened. Jacob dreamed of a ladder, a stairway reaching from earth up to heaven, and as angels of God were ascending and descending, and at the very top of the stairway stood God. And God looked at Jacob and spoke, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham and Isaac. I am giving you this land you are lying on. Your descendants will be more numerous than the dust of the earth, and through them I will bless the whole world. I am with you, watching over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this place one day. I will not leave until I have done what I have promised. I am with you, Jacob." Then Jacob awoke and was pretty scared. "I have slept at the gates of heaven. God is here and I didn't know it. If God will be with me and watch over me, if God will clothe me and feed me, then the Lord will be my God too." God had given Jacob the same promise given to Abraham and Isaac, even though he'd done nothing to deserve it. Jacob named the place Bethel, which means house of God, then continued on his journey towards the country of his mother. As Jacob approached the city of Haran, he met some shepherds in outlying fields. "Oh, I'm looking for a man called Laban. Do you know him?" "Laban? Well, yeah. Here comes his daughter Rachel to water the sheep. You can ask her yourself. We're just waiting to roll the stone away from the well so the sheep can drink. Allow me to introduce you." And Jacob met Laban's daughter Rachel, who said, "I think you'd better come and meet my father." So at last, Jacob was taken to the house of his uncle Laban. My boy, my own flesh and blood, welcome." And it was here that Jacob's troubles really began. Jacob, the trickster, was about to be outdone. Jacob fell in love with Rachel from the start. Love at first sight. When Laban asked what wages he would want for working for him, Jacob offered 7 years labour in return for her hand in marriage. This was an offer far too good for Laban to turn down. And so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and the years seemed no more than days, so great was his love for her. However, Rachel had an older sister named Leah, and by all accounts she wasn't quite the beauty Rachel was. Finding a husband for Rachel had been easy, and Laban had done very well out of the arrangement, but things wouldn't be so easy once Jacob's 7-year contract was up. If Jacob was a schemer, he'd met his match in Laban. Anyway, the 7 years were up, the wedding between Rachel and Jacob came round, and there was much celebrating and feasting and, quite possibly drinking. The bride looked beautiful in her wedding dress, in her veil. At the end of the evening, Laban gave his daughter in marriage to Jacob and watched as they went off to bed. It was dark. The bride wore a veil. Whatever the reason, it wasn't until morning light that Jacob looked at his wife and said, "Leah? What are you doing here? I'm your wife." "You most certainly are not." "Well, I am now." Jacob rushed out to his father-in-law. "Laban, what have you done to me? I work 7 years for you and you marry me to the wrong daughter. You mean Leah? Well, what's so terrible about that? There's really no need to get upset like this. You have to marry the elder sister before you can marry the younger one. I thought everyone knew that. It's the tradition around here. Well, I've never heard of it, said Jacob. Well, there you are then. Now you've married Leah, all you have to do is wait a week, and then, if you want, you can marry Rachel. Of course, that will cost another 7 years of work. And so, Jacob served another 7 years, although there's no mention of them seeming like days this time. Married to two sisters, Jacob's family life proved to be far from idyllic. Leah said to Jacob, "Listen, Jacob, we've been married for ages and I'm still not pregnant. Give me a children or I'll die." "Well, it's not my fault. I mean, you've had plenty of... I'm not interested in anything you want to say to me, especially if you're going to mention that Rachel." Leah was furious. Rachel came to Jacob and said the same thing. "If I'm not pregnant, I'll die too. It's not my fault." "It's not my fault," said Jacob. "But Leah has said, never mind her, forget her. I'm not interested in her. If you can't give me children, Jacob, you'll have to sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." So, poor Jacob did as Rachel asked, and soon the maidservant became pregnant. Of course, once he had slept with Rachel's maidservant, Leah insisted he sleep with hers too, and soon she became pregnant as well. The two sisters argued constantly, while Jacob's family grew and grew. At last, Rachel conceived and gave birth to a son. Jacob loved Rachel much more than Leah, and at last she had given him a son. He loved that son more than all his other children. They called the wee boy Joseph. And as if Jacob didn't have enough trouble at home, his father-in-law Laban began to take advantage of Jacob's success as a farmer. He said to his wives, the sisters, "Your father's attitudes towards me is changing. I've worked as hard as I can, yet he's changed my wages for the 10th time. God has made us prosper and kept us from harm. Now I think he means that we should be leaving this place." The wives agreed. "Our own father treats us as if we were foreigners. He sold us to you for 7 years' work and then spent all the money, whatever profits we make, belong to us now, not him." "I think you're right, Jacob. Do whatever God tells you." And so, Jacob put his wives and children and camels, and driving his flocks and herds before him, set off home back to the land of Canaan. For the second time in his life, Jacob was running away. When Jacob first came this way, he was alone, fleeing from his brother. Now, he was returning as the head of a large family. Of course, Jacob couldn't just take all this out from under Laban's nose without him noticing. And as they camped in the hill country of Gilead, Laban and his men finally caught up with them. They had been tracking them for a whole week. However, the night before, Laban had been troubled by a strange dream in which God warned him not to threaten Jacob. Despite his anger, it was therefore with some caution that Laban approached Jacob and said to him, "Just what's going on here? You've carried off my daughters like hostages, you've taken my flocks, you've even taken my grandchildren without me letting me say goodbye to them. Believe me, Jacob, I could do you great harm if I chose to.
Jacob replied, What have I done?
Search every tent and package and see if you can find one single thing I've stolen, and then lay it on the ground here where all the family can see you.
I never took anything from your flocks, only those that you agreed I could have. If wild animals carried any away, I bore the loss myself.
You demanded full payment for anything that was stolen. I worked for 14 years to marry your daughter, and you changed my wages the whole time. I burned from the sun by day and froze from the cold by night. I can't tell you the sleep I lost on your account. It was like this for 20 years, and if the God of my father had not been with me, you would have sent me away empty-handed.
Pah, said Laban. The women are my daughters, the children are my grandchildren, and I say those flocks are still mine. But what can I do? Come, let's make an agreement, you and I.
And so Laban and Jacob built a pillar from stones and made a formal agreement there and then. Laban made Jacob promise to treat his daughters well and to take no other wives. Laban would not pass beyond the pillar to harm Jacob, and Jacob would not pass beyond the pillar to harm Laban, as God was their witness. When Jacob first crossed the River Jordan, he was running from his brother Esau and owned nothing but the staff he leaned on. Now, returning home, he had wives, children, flocks, and servants to care for. Jacob was scared of trouble ahead. Every step they took towards Canaan brought them closer to the lands belonging to Esau. Advance scouts ahead of them reported that Esau had heard of Jacob's return and was riding towards them with 400 men. There was, of course, unfinished business between the two brothers, and Esau's death threats still hung heavy in the air. Jacob feared the worst. Splitting his people into groups, each laden with gifts for Esau, he sent them on ahead of him. In this way, he hoped to pacify his brother, or at the very least give them a better chance of survival should Esau attack. His herds and servants sent on, Jacob then sent his wives, maidservants, and all 11 sons over the river. And so he was alone once more. Jacob had prayed to the God of his fathers to save him from his brother's vengeance. Then, as now, Jacob had been alone and scared, terrified of his brother and fearing for his life. But God had not forgotten Jacob, nor the promises made all those years before. And now, as before, God spoke to Jacob. A man came to him in the night, and they wrestled and fought right through till daybreak. All his life, Jacob had struggled against God. Now that struggle took on a new literal meaning. They fought all through the night, neither gaining ground. When the man realized that he could not overcome Jacob in his wrestling, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip. Jacob's hip was wrenched, but still he fought on. Let me go, said Jacob. It's nearly daylight. I won't let go of you until you bless me. Tell me then your name. Jacob, my name is Jacob. Then the man said, Then you are Jacob no longer. From now on, your name will be Israel. And with that, the man was gone. Jacob realized that he had seen God face to face and yet lived. And so he was called Israel. The Hebrew word means he struggles with God. And for the rest of his life, Jacob walked with a limp from the wrestler's touch. But now he prayed no longer to the God of my fathers. Now he prayed to the God of Israel. God had become his God. Of course, there was still the matter of Esau to attend to.
Weak from his struggle and leaning heavily on his staff, Jacob felt his heart sink when he saw that at long last his brother had caught up with him. After everything he had been through, to die now, oh, Jacob hadn't escaped death from the hands of his brother, he'd merely delayed it. As Esau ran towards him, Jacob bowed down to the ground before him. "I saw a family on the road ahead of me." "Who are they?" said Esau. "They are the children God has given me, your servant." "I saw flocks and herds driven ahead of them. What are they doing here?" "They are my gift, my lord, from your servant. Please take them." And Esau bent down, took Jacob in his arms, pulled him up and said, "Jacob, I already have everything I need. Keep what you have. I have more than enough." "Oh, no, 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 please take them. Seeing you like this is like seeing the face of God. And if I have found favour, any favour in your eyes, please accept these gifts." And so, because Jacob had insisted, Esau accepted, and their reconciliation was complete. Jacob had done nothing to deserve such forgiveness, and yet his brother offered it anyway. Where Jacob had expected violence, Esau had embraced him and wept with joy at his return. Happy to have his brother back alive, Esau set off once more. "Why not come with me now, Jacob?" And Jacob replied, "I have sheep and cows to think of, many of them with young. We'll follow you at our own pace. All I want now is for things to be right between us." And so Jacob was home at last. He bought fields in the land of Canaan, and there he built an altar to the God of Israel, his God. Although safe in the land of Canaan, Jacob's family life was no more peaceful than it had been before. Since he had children by four women, two of whom were sisters, how could it be? Rachel, Jacob's beloved wife, died, giving birth to a second son called Benjamin. Rachel was buried on the road to Bethlehem, and over her tomb, Jacob set a pillar. Benjamin was the last of Jacob's children. Jacob had been given many sons, yet he was blind to their feelings and he openly favoured Joseph above the rest. He had been born to him late in life and he was his beloved Rachel's first son. As a sign of affection, Jacob gave Joseph a coat, richly decorated with many colours. His brothers became increasingly worried. Did this mean that Jacob intended to give everything to Joseph, when it was they who had done all the hard work building up the flocks and the herds? As if this weren't bad enough, Joseph started having strange dreams.